Well, kingdom greetings. Yeah, did Pastor Boyd did an excellent work last week? Let's give God a round of applause. Thank you. I was telling Kendra, I said, I don't know, for some reason, I find it a little harder for me to leave on Sunday. I guess, you know, it's like, it's not like I don't want to leave. I need a break once in a while, but it's like, I just want to make sure if I'm not here, whoever's going to do whatever ministry, I want to make sure they're going to minister to the Lord. Because when the Lord is ministered to, when the name of Jesus is lifted up, what happened? He draws all heart to himself. You know, and I am thankful that Pastor Boyd last week, he had a message, but I love the fact that he was sensitive enough. And I listened to the message. I hope you guys took it to heart. It was a message we all needed to hear. So I'm going to continue from Acts chapter 4. The Word of God is, the Bible is alive. Can I have a witness? The Bible is alive, and the Bible is true food. So how often should you read it or eat it? Now let's try that again. The Word of God is alive. The Bible is true food. How often should I read? How often you think I should read the Bible? You tell me, please. Tell me, please. The Bible is alive. It is true food. How often must I read the Bible? Eat the Bible. Eat the Word. Eat the true food, spiritual food. So if you're not reading your Bible, and I tell you, I am very happy to see a lot of you are coming to church with your Bibles now. Remember, I have nothing against your cell phones, your iPad. Praise God. It's all good. You know, God bless them. Preach the gospel on social media. Use your phone. Have many different versions on it. Awesome. Got the message. But make sure you invest in a Bible, a personal Bible. And a new Bible, if your Bible is still kind of new, I'll close the comments right there. Because your Bible shouldn't look so brand spanking new. You should have notes, underlines, words, you know, maybe sticky notes. So use your Bible because it is true food. Acts chapter 4. You know, we've been reading the book of Acts, and I just love what the Holy Spirit is doing. I've said this before, and I'm going to remind you. From all the books in the Bible, the book of Acts is the only book without an end. If you haven't done it before, when you go home today or this week, go through the Bible, just the New Testament. Look at Matthew. Matthew has an end. Revelation has an end. You know, Roman, the book of Ephesians has an end. But the book of Acts does not have an end. Because the book of Acts, I mean, the other name you could give for the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Is what the Holy Spirit has done or is doing with the disciples. So the disciples, the Holy Spirit is still at work with the church, through his church. You know, there's a verse in John. It says, there would be no place in the world to add books if we would be writing, record everything that the Holy Spirit has done through the disciples. So we thank God for his word. You know what happened? You remember what happened in chapter 1? What happened in chapter 1? Chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was promised. The Holy Spirit came. Jesus ascended to heaven. And the Pentecost, you remember the upper room prayer meeting? The Holy Spirit came. And then the disciples choose Matthias to follow, to take Judas' place. In chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit happened, and then the crowd responded to Peter's message. The crowd responded, and then came Peter's message. How many people who got saved after Peter's message? You guys remember? 3,000 people. Okay? And what was the title for Peter's message? Repent. Repent. It says, repent. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. And once again, I put a little emphasis on here. I said, if you are here and you have decided to follow Jesus, we're going to finish with that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you have decided to follow Jesus and you haven't baptized in water, please come talk to us. If you believe in Jesus, you must be baptized in water. If you're not baptized in water, seriously, and I'm not saying this with reserve. Anybody who wants to follow Jesus and doesn't want to be baptized, they do not want to be fully committed. Because baptism, I believe in Jesus and I get baptized. Baptism is like the wedding day. You know, there's people out there, some people just want to live together. They don't want to commit to each other. You know, they just want to have an open door. No commitment. No covenant. Baptism, that's what it does. So I hope if you're here, I hope everybody here is baptized in water. But I love it. It says, repent in the name of Jesus, and all of you must be baptized for the remission of sins. And then you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, there's a process. You become a believer. You're born again. You confess Jesus with your mouth. You believe in your heart. And then you're born again. But it doesn't stop there. You must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does the baptism of the Holy Spirit look like? Well, then Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, and I've given you my testimony. I'm just doing a recap because it's been a couple of weeks since I talk on Acts. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Great work. Would you put your hands together for me for Ange back there? You know, she's being stretched. By the way, guys, thank you. Thanks to everybody that's just stepping on board to, serve in many ways you can. I love it. May the Lord bless you. It's amazing. It says, when you shall receive the power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And you shall be what? Witness. Witness. You all know what a witness is. Someone who witnessed something, right? You were there. And I love it. You're going to see it in Acts chapter 4. Peter says, come on, guys. Come on, Sadducees. You remember? Sadducees. All right? Man, I went online and really looked at what the Sadducees looks like. They really look sad. It's crazy. You know, I pull up some pictures and I'm like, wow, yeah. Don't be like Sadducees, you know? That's why when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, if you were sad, it takes that away. It gives you joy. I got the joy, joy, joy. Down where? Down in my heart. And I tell you, one of the physical manifestation of a believer who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will have joy. Why? Because joy does not depend on circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about giddy, you know, like being hyper, or not everybody's hyper like me, okay? But I hope I don't slow down as I get wiser, not older. They say you get wiser as you get older. I choose that word instead of saying older. But seriously, because I remember in my life, after I give my life to Jesus, I used to be shy. I used to not like people. I used to not want to speak in front of people. But then, bam, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I've got this bubble inside. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I want to talk. I want to talk to people. You know, it's like, man, it's amazing. And I pray all of you experience this. experience the fire of God, what it says here in Acts. When you receive, you would be my witness where? In Judea. Oh no, first of all, in Jerusalem. There's a sad story. It's a true story. I was talking to one of my cell leaders in Haiti. I mean, Pastor Blackwell was telling me. In Haiti, when they say, you know, this person in the family was kind of the head, that means that person might have been the oldest, but also the smartest with the better job, the guy who is making more money in the family, and he's also, with the money he's making, he's supporting the rest of the family. So in our church, one of our church in Haiti, one of our cell leaders just lost a brother. You know, and I was talking to them, and the first thing they said, man, we lost the head of the family. I know what they mean. So I said, well, tell me about this guy. You know, so this guy was, he got hired by the government. He was hired working for the government. Really good job. He was making good money. And he was actually really helping the family. So when someone like that die in a family, the family is devastated. There, I mean, it's like the funeral is not, I've never seen a funeral here in the States where people, you know, if you guys seen online, people are just like going crazy. You know, the emotion is so bad. Everybody's crying. You know what I mean? Young guy, 35, full of future. 35, and it's like everybody, I mean, the funeral is usually a sad, sad moment. Sometimes the preacher can't, I mean, you have to really, hey, guys, you know, calm down, you know, it's just the emotion, the separation is painful. So they're telling me the story about this guy, and, you know, I'm sympathizing with the family. I'm like, wow. But okay, you know, so he's dead now. The next question I ask is, did he know the Lord? Because it doesn't matter. The value of a life is not in its duration. That's a quote from Miles Monroe. He says, the values of life is not in its duration, but in its donation. So the value of your life, don't say, well, you know, I had a good life because I'm 90. If you didn't give it away, if you didn't serve people, if you didn't serve your family, if you didn't invest your community, if you didn't make an impact in your generation, I tell you, you live a worthless life whether you live 150. But you might have just lived 20 years. But if you impacted your generation, if you made an impact on your family, then your life was valued. The value of a life is not in its duration, how long you live on this earth, but it's in the way you donate it. You serve your family. You serve your country. You serve your community. You serve your church. You know? So, after I asked that question, he said, Pastor, I tell you this, the guy wouldn't accept Jesus. I said, hang on. You telling me, because he didn't just die like that. You know, sometimes if someone just die in a car accident or, you know, sometimes people just die suddenly, right? It's like you were planning next day, you find out, yeah, I'm dead. I wasn't planning on dying. But it happens. But that guy was sick. And then I find out and keep asking question what happened. They cast a spell on him. It works. Voodoo. Sometimes in those countries, if somebody don't like you, they go to the witch doctor. They go to the witch doctor. The witch doctor's has some kind of connection with the devil. With what they call Ezili, Oguferai, all those evil spirits. And then they do whatever they do in the cemetery with a doll or whatever, and then they create some kind of spell and attach this doll to this person's name, or they find some kind of clothing for that person, from that person, and then they cast a spell on him. And whatever the spell is, usually it's to kill that person. That's real stuff, guys. That's why the only person that cannot be affected by a spell or a curse is someone who is under the blood of Jesus. Under the blood of Jesus. Man, it's like, let them do it. You know, sometimes they would come to in front of your house and do like a battle, kill a chicken with corn and whatever. They do their ceremony. And then the next morning you wake up, you kick it in the name of Jesus. They're waiting for you to die, but nothing happened. It happens. That's why I'm telling you, it's like sometimes Christianity here, we think, I told you this already. Don't open yourself to Halloween, making it look like it's just a cultural thing. The devil is real, just like God is real. The work of the enemy is real, just like the work of God is real. So I'm sitting there listening to the story, and I'm like, wow, man, wow. And I said, well, now tell me more. You're telling me this guy, it happens. In Haiti, you'd get a promotion at work. And then the co-workers next to you, they don't like you. They get envied. So they want to kill you. They can't stab you or shoot you. So they go to the witch doctor and cast a spell on you. And that's what they did. And the crazy thing is, this guy, he knew it. He said, they went to the doctors. Usually when you go to the doctor says, there's nothing I can do. Then the doctors concluded, I'm done. You need to go elsewhere. When they say you need to go elsewhere, they either tell you to go find God or go find the devil. So the guy said, I'm not going to witch doctor. And he says, I'm not going to God. Guys, this guy's about ready to die. I said, seriously? And then I asked Pastor Blackwell, I said, did any of you guys ask him why he doesn't want God? And Pastor Blackwell said, yeah, I did. I said, what did he say? What did he say? Oh, this is what he said. He says, where I was working, there was a lot of Christians, people that called themselves Christians. Because of the way they were, I said I would never serve such God. Witness. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be God's witness where in Jerusalem. I pray for my neighbors. I feel like I have one neighbor in my community that I think they go to church. I see them, their posts online. I pray for them all the time. I bless their house. But my unbelieving neighbors are nicer than them. So I beg God for mercy. I said, Lord, as they're being annoying, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to keep saying, the other day I said, hey man, good morning, how you doing? He looked at me like, good morning, how you doing? Like, the wife ignores you. They go to church. I'm like, and now you're telling me my unbelieving neighbors, they're not a believer. What do you have to offer them? Now, can you imagine if I jump on their boat and start hating them, start, you know, like, maybe parking my cars in front of their driveway or whatever. Because, you know, sometimes we get so selfish and you want to get back at them. Put your trash can in front of them. In front of their mailbox or something like that. And who cares? What are you going to do? Kick the mailbox? Well, go for it. I mean, kick the trash can, go for it. This wasn't part of my message. I'm just doing a recap. Look, witness says of me in where? Jerusalem. More than ever, we need to be God's witness in our home, in Jerusalem, in our community. What are your neighbors saying? Oh, they're watching. What are your unbelieving neighbors, co-workers? What are they saying? Will they get to that guy's place on their deathbed? Oh my, it hurts. My heart is like, wow, Lord, have mercy, God. I mean, somebody on their deathbed wants to deny Jesus because of the way other people misrepresented Christ. Oh, guys, let not this happen to you. Ask God for mercy and the power of the Holy Spirit to be self-disciplined, to love God more than anybody else, to fear God more than anybody else. I fear God. Man, it's like there was a time I wanted to be so mean to one of my neighbor. But I fear God. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Self-control. Self-control. Self, you control yourself. The Holy Spirit is not coming to control you. The Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is for you to control yourself. You master yourself. You know what? I didn't mean to slap him, but he was just talking. He cursed me. I accidentally slapped him. Doesn't happen. There are certain things you can't do accidentally. So when you feel your blood is boiling, when you feel like you're really getting ready to choke him, you know what? Run away. You have that choice. Because you're not powerless. You're powerful. When you want to curse them, you know what? Say, I bless you. And that's what we're doing. We say, Lord, I bless you. We say, Lord, I've been through worse. I've been through worse. Lord, I bless my neighbor. Lord, I bless this person. Lord, I bless my coworker. Don't give in to it, because why? They have nothing to offer. But you've been called to be the witness. You've been called to represent Abba. But you can't do it on your own strength. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we are a Spirit-filled church. Now, that doesn't mean... Oh, it could be that too. We're not saying, well, if you're doing like... You're not the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because we all have our style. But the Holy Spirit is not going to come on you and start getting you to start pumping around. No. But you might feel during praise and worship, you might want to shout, hallelujah, yes, Jesus, this is all good. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. You get excited. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, all my heart, you've been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. And see, you look at your neighbor over there and you say, all my life, you have been faithful. We all in the Spirit. The problem is we put the Holy Spirit in a box. You say, well, if this person is not acting like this, if this person is not saying this, he's not doing that, they're not in the Spirit. Come on, I rebuke those thoughts. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then in Judea and Samaria to the end of the world, of the earth. It's a lot easier to witness to God, to be witness of God, everywhere else but home. But let us not forget. You can witness, you can be a witness to God everywhere else, but if you fell in Jerusalem, you fell. That's why the world, some in the past, even still today, that's exactly why that guy went to hell. The guy died without accepting Jesus. His family is in agony. They're crying not only because, yes, he was the head of the family, but a lot of the family are church or kingdom people. And now there's a movement in our church to use that to tell people, come on, guys, how are you representing Christ at work? is your walk, is the way you are with people, the way you're treating people. I read something a couple years ago. It says you can't pretend to love God and treat people like trash. It's impossible. Just like when you turn your faucets on, you don't get dirty water or salty water. Man, this is salty water. Where is that coming from? It doesn't happen. You go in the ocean to find salty water. But I thank God for what he's doing here. Amen.